Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue, housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Helen Morris. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website at www.carleton.ca/Europe Cluster.
I'm David Long. I'm a professor of international affairs at the Noam Patterson School of International Affairs and an associate of the Centre for European Studies at Carleton.
Can I ask you first, David, is the EU a help or a hindrance in Canada's relations with Europe?
Inevitably, it's a bit of both. One would expect that the EU should, of course, be a help, certainly a help for EU member states cooperating, and that as an organisation with which Canada shares a lot of interest, that it would be a great deal of help in Canada advancing both international and domestic agendas. Having said that, the problem is that quite often Canada and the European Union member states disagree about things. And so in a lot of contexts, the European Union adds a level of complexity, adds a level of uncertainty, adds a level of difficulty for Canadian policymakers.
Is the EU a pretty coherent body, or are there some sort of maybe less coherent aspects to what it does?
The EU is a very diverse organization with 27 member states ranging across a whole range of policy areas. In some of those policy areas, like trade, competition, environment, a variety of other issue areas, the union is actually very coherent and speaks with one voice to a large degree. In a number of other areas, such as foreign and security policy and a number of other contexts, the member states are more dominant and there's a good deal less coherence with which Canada has to deal.
And from a Canadian perspective, thinking about policymakers and negotiators, there's some areas where Canada and the EU tend to agree. Are these the areas where there's a lot of coherence and there's comprehensible policy in Europe?
On a lot of low-level issues, a lot of technical issues, there are shared views, that's for sure. The irony seems to be that in pretty much every area where the European Union has developed coherence, almost by virtue of being coherent, it has become a single entity with its own agenda and wanting to pull its weight and push others around. And Canada's actually confronted a union which is can be quite difficult to deal with. Trade's a very good example. Environment is another one where there's coherence and one would hope the EU and Canada would share goals. But unfortunately, a lot of the time, there are differences of opinion. On other areas where there's less coherence in the union, Canada shares a lot of goals with a lot of the member states, but inevitably not with all of them. And so on, for instance, conflict in Afghanistan or conflict with regard to Iraq, nuclear proliferation, other issues in the security area, the Canadian position is similar to a number of the member states, but not all.
What are the options for Canada going forward in terms of dealing with issues of the environment and security? Where should they be looking?
Depends by which policy area we're talking. Ultimately, Canada has to deal with a European Union that on different policy areas is coherent in some cases and not in others. What's key here is actually making sure that you are addressing the key policymakers and key decision makers. In some cases, those will be in Brussels and those will be to do with the Commission and other agencies related to the Commission. In most cases, however, it will be in member state capitals, officials there, but not as just national leaders and national officials. These will be cases where Canadian officials will be looking to influence European capitals as a way of influencing European policy.
Is this something that has changed substantively over time, the way in which Canada is able to deal with the EU and relate to the EU?
I would say, oh yes, there's been a subtle but significant change. The European Union has grown in membership, it's grown in terms of policy areas, and it's grown in terms of the expectations of getting common positions, even if the methods of arriving at those have long been a diverse range of things. That means that Canada has to deal with, in some cases, a very coherent union, in some cases, a union that is striving to be coherent. So the idea that, on the one hand, the British and the French might disagree on an issue should be understood as a natural course of things. However, the European Union introduces a context in which one expects the UK and France to coordinate. This then leads to problems for Canada, because where the British position is the favoured position for Canada, once upon a time it used to be that you would ally with the British and that would be it. Now the problem is that the British are first seeking coordination within the European Union and then only turning to its Canadian allies.
Where do you think this relationship is going next? And also perhaps where is Canada going next in terms of its relations with Europe?
For the time being, dealing with complexity and a large political entity is something that Canada is familiar with. Canadian officials do this on a day-to-day basis with the very large neighbor to the south, the United States. On the other hand, I do think that in the long term, European cooperation leads ultimately to, and this is in the very long term, leads ultimately, though, to the Americanization of Canadian foreign policy. I say that because European cooperation ultimately means that European partners will look to each other first, even in areas where there's not complete agreement on what the policies in Europe should be. They will look to each other first, and Canada and others later on. That really leaves transatlantic relations being something that is bipolar and the two blocks, and Canada ultimately will be seeking to influence American policy first, even in transatlantic relations.
Thank you very much.